It's an honor to provide individuals and families with an effective faith-based solution to the intense problems of this life. We equip people with the necessary tools to live a healthy, spiritually productive life outside of the confines of a structured program. By instilling Christian principles and values, we empower people with mental stability, emotional balance, physical wellness, social ability, and spiritual life. I'm just going to read to you their mission, and I believe Pastor Ben's team's going to do another song, so if you guys want to get ready while I'm reading the mission. At Narrow Gate, we offer a live-in facility for individuals with issues such as drug, alcohol, gambling, pornography, depression, anxiety, phobias, eating disorders, homelessness, and anything else that can grip or overwhelm the human life. We offer a safe, structured environment designed specifically for people coming out of unhealthy backgrounds. People coming out of these lifestyles are not usually accustomed to handling the pressure of life without shutting down and turning to their escape. We help establish healthy ways of handling the situations of life. Our students also learn a good work ethic, study habits, and people skills through the encouragement and support they receive. We believe grace, truth, time, accountability, structure, and love are the essential elements to see authentic change in a person's life. We give people room to fail and then come alongside them with counseling and guidance to help them work through their issues. Everyone receives individual attention because everyone is different. Some begin to embrace change more quickly than others. Through God, we offer discipleship and deliverance on the foundation of Scripture. We believe Jesus Christ is the change agent of the soul. We offer people a safe environment to build relationship with God and let the Holy Spirit begin to lead their life. We appreciate Pastor Ben and Jessica. Is Jessica in the house right over there? We met them a few years ago, and they have connected with us, and they attend our CI meeting here in every other month. And also, we've been up to their church to preach and taken our prophetic teams up to their church. And we just appreciate the work that they are doing in the kingdom of God. And we so love all those from Narrow Gate that we've met and got to know, and excited to hear some testimonies today of how God has healed them, delivered them, and set them free. And so it's an honor to have them in the house today. And at the end of this worship song, Pastor Ben is going to come on up, and he is going to minister.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We love you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, for filling us on this day, God. We're sensitive to your moving, to the unction on the inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come yielded. God, we come surrendered to the Spirit of the living God. Praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for the anointing, breaking the yoke of bondage today. God, I thank you for a heart of deliverance being released in this house. God, I'm thankful that we're not just surviving, but we're thriving, God, that we're more than overcomers today. God, and I thank you, Lord, for taking us from glory to glory, God, that we would reach another revelation, God, that we would reach a fresh place in you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Father, today we say out with the old and in with the new. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a fresh wind of Holy Ghost, a fresh breath of your Spirit on the inside. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're everything to us, God. You're everything we've ever needed, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lay it all aside. Thank you, Jesus. Every sin, every weight that so easily entangles. Father, we lay it aside now in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Saints, can you praise Him with me? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You can find a seat this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a good place to be. Around saints of God, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We just meet some of you and shake your hand. We feel the power of God. Hallelujah. Start feeling freedom and deliverance. We start worshiping. Start praising God and things start breaking loose in the atmosphere. Amen. Things start shifting. Things start changing. Hallelujah. You can leave this place filled and refreshed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's such an honor to be in the house of God, to be with you. Thank you, Dr. Janet and Leonard, for allowing us opportunity to come and have some church with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible, grab it with me this morning. And I want to get right into the Word of God. I believe the Word of God is the foundation for all things that we do. Amen. Foundation for truth. Foundation for Christian living. We want to get into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 1, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. The birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they didn't have much soil. Immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil. Say, good soil. And produced, say produced. It fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. We hear this often about money and other things, but can I share with you today that it has, from my evaluation, more to do with spiritual fruit in the soul. Amen. It has to do with the heart condition. And many of us have sowed seeds in the wrong garden. Many of us have allowed seed from God to fall on bad soil in the wrong place. We've heard the word, we've received the word, but sometimes our ground is a little shallow. And have you ever been in the church, you get saved, and a little while, something starts to happen, and you get all excited because there's this green thing happening in my soul, and I'm going, where did this thing come from? Something starts springing up, and then you go through another season where the sun comes out, dries that all up, devastation comes. You go, I thought that I had began something good, but it's not producing. It's not producing. Some seed fell on good soil and produced. I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual momentum. Momentum that gets us to the place of being more than conquerors and overcomers. Amen? Man, I like that amen. That was good news right there. Hallelujah. Get that girl. Need a microphone over the amen section. Hey, baby. Hallelujah. We're looking for good seed and good soil. In other words, the things of God falling in a heart that is prepared to receive Him. And what happens is when you plant the seed in good soil and the proper elements are there, you can't stop it. It begins to take root and this thing begins to grow and produce. Oftentimes in the faith, we'll plant seed and like a good soldier, we continue to be diligent and moving along in the faith and we'll forget about some of this seed and we'll come back and look and see a harvest. Because God is the one that brings the increase. Spiritual momentum. Some fell in the thorns. We get too caught up with the cares of this world. Can I say that we even get intoxicated or under the influence of the cares of this world? Boy, the enemy does a good job. We got bills and schedules and cell phones. What happened with cell phones? Remember the old ones they used to flip? I remember before that, the big ones you used to have to carry. Bloop, 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 bloop. Yeah, the big antenna you'd have to pull out. Yeah, now there's this thing that almost has this influence on us. We don't just sit in waiting rooms anymore, do we? Checking Facebook, checking this, sending this. Don't even have any reason to be on it other than we're just distracted and bored. I'm guilty. Home at night, we have the television going and the computer on. Distraction, influence. Distraction and influence, trying to choke out, trying to quench. Spiritual momentum is when seed falls on good soil and we're able to position ourselves before the Father. We're able to allow the power of the Holy Ghost to continue to move, to make way for spiritual things, that spiritual fruit would be produced. Catch the momentum. I want to share with you a little bit about David, and many of us know the story of young David and how he slew the giant, the Philistine, and how he fell. And turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we want to kind of pull out a little bit more from the text and how it relates to spiritual momentum and overcoming. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 48, that roused the Philistine, and he started towards David. David took off from the front line, running towards the Philistine. David reached into his pocket for a stone, slung it, hit the Philistine hard in the forehead. Embedding the stone deeply, the Philistine crashed face down in the dirt. Isn't that the big moment? Isn't that the big moment that we all have these giants, right? If you're in the faith, you have giants. Big ones. That don't like you, that don't like your Jesus. That want to stand and taunt you. And this is the big moment. When young David, the one unsuspecting among the crowd, runs down with a stone. Knocks the Philistine down. I want to look at seven keys to momentum and what built up to this big moment. The first key to spiritual momentum and overcoming is to stop seeing yourself the way others see you. 1 Samuel 17 and 28. But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the man, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. Isn't that interesting? That before we ever get to the battlefield, before we ever get to that place of victory and being more than a conqueror, we have a voice of somebody very close to us, a brother, speaking defeat, discouragement, working against the things of God. If there's unhealthy on the inside of us, we begin to hear the voice of the enemy and gravitate to that. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just always going to be this way. Maybe I'm just always going to be stuck. Maybe God doesn't love me enough to do this. Maybe I'm not meant to be like them and now. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? I said God is no respecter of persons. If He does it for one, He'll do it for another. And can I tell you, the battle for David was won long before he had stones and a sling in his hand. It was won standing there with his brother, not receiving it. I want to give you freedom to get this in your spirit. You got to get your nope on. Amen? No, 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 I don't receive that. No, I don't hear that. And we can even be congenial, yet firm. No. No, see, the enemy would come and I just say, no, that's not who I am. God says I'm this. And sometimes in the morning, I got to wake up and preach myself happy. Amen. You guys ever wake up just not feeling like it? Not wanting to get up and get out? Sometimes I got to encourage myself in the Lord. Sometimes I got to speak against the voice of the enemy. And nope, God didn't call me just to sit here. God called me to other things. Voice of the enemy is always working. 1 Samuel 17 and 33, and Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Not only from the brother, the older brother, but from one of great influence in the land. We have government and different powers in the land that would want to speak defeat to us. That would want to speak against and say, you can't do that. Well, devil, shut up in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You got to get that on the inside of you. I don't receive that. David didn't defend himself, basically ignored him, turned to another and asked a question. Bible says, answer not a fool in his folly. Answer not a fool in his folly. A man of faith in my life years ago, I could easily call him a general in the faith. He would almost come across rude sometimes, though he did it in the most loving way. Because somebody would just be talking and saying something, and he would just ignore them and go on to the other person. I remember sitting there like, Pastor, why would you ignore that guy? But he just answers not a fool in his folly. He was just moving on to spiritual things, to important things. Number two, despise not small beginnings. You know, sometimes we get discouraged when the seed is planted and we only see the green leaf. And we see others coming in with barrels of fruit. They got self-control. They got patience. Oh, they got love. They got joy like they just tiptoe through the tulips all day long. They got all this stuff. And you're at the small place. You're at the starting place. Despise not small beginnings. Where does the story begin? With young David out in the field. Shepherding. Not even considered among the brothers as one to be included when the prophet came looking for who to anoint. Despise not the small beginnings. Number three, make the most of where you're at and what you're doing at the moment. Not only in the shepherd's field did he make the most of it and turned it into training ground for other things. God was training him and raising him. Even when there were no other humans around, God was preparing him to be a leader of a great nation. Amen? But even in the moment, he chose five smooth stones. Five little stones. And a sling. God likes to take the little and do incredible things with it. He multiplies the fish and he's a multiplier. It wouldn't have made near as much impact if David came and did an inspirational speech and got the army involved and they went down and killed the giant. Or if David had gone before the king and got that armor and that big sword and could swing that thing, and we all like the action hero movies, right? Swing that thing and he's some great warrior. He's just a kid that ignored the voice of the enemy that got five little stones and chose to march down there in the name of the Lord. Make the most of what you have. Offer the stones to the Father. Say, this is what I got. Let's kill some giants. See, we look too natural. We look to our natural mind going, I can't overcome this thing. This is the only thing I've got. I've only got these smooth stones. He's a big giant, and we can begin to defeat ourselves. Take what God has given you. Not what the king was trying to offer. Not the advice from the brother. Make the most of what you have. 1,000 men with armor, well trained, standing around, and this little kid with some rocks. Goes and shows them up. Number 4, become goal, reward, motivated. I think we have an overestimated sense of humility that has been in Western Christianity. Oh, I'm just humble. Oh, I just don't want any credit for that. Yeah, it's too much. Too much. See, there is reward for a king's kid. There is reward for a warrior at the other end of the battle. Amen? There are some good things, and we never get arrogant about it. We never get prideful. But that's in my sights, that if I'm able to do this and do this, if I'm able to get these stones and march out in the name of the Lord, my giant is going to fall, and we're going to shout for victory. Amen? I've got reward. And let that reward motivate you to get through your giants. David had some reward, 1 Samuel 17:25. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. We'll give him his daughters and make his father's house free in Israel." Some reward laid before the servant of God. Number 5, recognize who it is that actually wins your battles. It makes no logical sense that 5 smooth stones, or in this case really 1 stone slung, would knock the giant down. But he went running and proclaiming the Lord's authority. And we need to make proclamation on our way down. Recognize that it was God that raised up David, that prepared him in the wilderness, that had given him the heart, that had given him the desire, that had given him that positioning, that audacity to say no to this and yes to that. It's God who wins our battles. It's God who brings the increase. It's us that subject ourselves or submit ourselves to His Lordship. Number 6, the momentum. With momentum, the difference begins with the words of our mouth. Begins with the words of our mouth. How many know that words are powerful? Isn't it interesting that God spoke and things became? Even in Jesus' ministry, He spoke and things shifted, things happened in the natural. We're no different. We're called even to do greater things than He. It's the words of our mouth. It's what we're proclaiming, what we're declaring, what we're standing on, how we're speaking. The Bible says it's like a rudder of a ship. You can steer the entire thing with the mouth. With the mouth. 1 Samuel 17:46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Oh my goodness. Well, I'm just going to try counseling. Well, my doctor said if I take these pills, it'll help. No wonder you're defeated. You were defeated before you began. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, amen, be pure. Let it be in alignment. See, righteousness is right alignment. It's right standing with the Father. And when we speak right things, we align ourselves. I almost picture a spiritual funnel of anointing and grace, that divine power being made available to me through right standing. Amen? Through the blood of Christ, we get righteousness. Through aligning ourselves with biblical truth, declaring the Word of God, the Logos and the Rhema, when God prophetically releases to you, lay proclamation to that. Allow it to put you in position to receive. And number 7, God wants you to be more. Notice I said more than an overcomer. We don't just survive, but we thrive in the faith. Amen? And don't mistake seasons for spiritual foundation. See, there's always an increase as we're serving God. But we go through seasons. See, there's seasons where there's not much happening on the vine. It's winter time. Amen? But there's still increase. There's still increase. We're still thriving, preparing ourselves for a new season. I'll say this, spiritual momentum can't be stopped unless you allow it to happen. God has given who authority? God has given you authority over every unclean thing. Isn't that the good news? We talk about demonic influence or different things and strongholds and stuff that has an influence on a person's life. When we're able to identify it, that's the good news. Because we've been given authority over every unclean thing. That's the good news. We don't have to wrestle anymore. We know what it is. We have the authority. We have the power. We have the blood of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I talk to the men for a minute? You guys, I'll date myself a little bit. You guys remember that kickboxer movie with Jean-Claude? Anyone remember that? You know what I'm talking about? And remember when he hits like they're doing it and he wraps the thing and he dips it in the glass, dips it in the stuff. And he dips it in the glass and it's like this moment, you know. Listen, this is what I like to do sometimes in the spirit. The devil starts taunting old Philistine, uncircumcised Philistine. Smells funny, looks funny, he's out there taunting. I like to just dip my hands in the blood of Jesus. Amen. I just like to get saddled up for this thing and go out and say, listen, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I think I'm more excited than you are about it. Praise the Lord. Apostle Leonard got it over there. He's got a good right swing. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't enough just to come down and quietly slay a giant, but David was more. Say more. David was more than an overcomer. Even after he slung that rock and hit the Philistine and he goes down, he didn't just stop there and say, all right, guys, let's be done now. He ran down and grabbed that guy's sword. He said, and he ripped that head off and he held it up. You know what that is? That's a testimony. Amen. That's a testimony. Praise the Lord. More than a conqueror. More than an overcomer. We don't just white knuckle this thing. We don't just go through our little 12 steps and get to this place or through this system or this program to where we can bear with it and kind of make it through. But we're more than an overcomer. We are so far beyond that thing. Now we're over here in this place of victory, holding that thing high. Amen. So that everyone can shout and praise the Lord for the victory that was won. Oh, my goodness. I almost started preaching. Takes energy to build momentum. Takes intentionality. You'll never accidentally end up in a place of victory. Oops. I won. Sheesh, I don't even know. I've never heard that testimony. I don't even know how I got free. I was walking down the street one day and poof, I was free. I've never heard that. Have you guys? No, it's because we were intentional. Through the blood of Christ, we get on our face. Listen, here is the method for transformation. You get on your face the same way that every sinner has. And you cry out to a God that loves you. You confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And ye shall be saved. That's as simple as that. I get tired of Western Christianity. Pre-packaging and programming everything. Do this, do it this way, do it this way. Well, it's another season of Christians, so now there's a new way to do the same thing. Get on your face and cry out. Say, God, I'm a wreck, I'm a mess. I can't do this. I need you, I need help, I need freedom. Show me. I'll serve you, I'll follow you, I'll walk with you. Christianity is not about escaping hell and entering heaven. It's about coming into right relationship with a loving Father and walking with Him. Scare tactics and other ideas of Christianity, just getting people just to pray the prayer. And that's kind of the end of it. Salvation is the starting line. Amen? Salvation is the beginning of this new thing. And I'll tell you that my evaluation as I've walked with Him is that He has called me to many things, but one thing has always been primary, that He's called me to be more than an overcomer. More than a conqueror. Be fervent and zealous and passionate. To be radical. Be absolutely radical in our faith. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. Have it to the full that you would be on the other side of things. Praise the Lord. Do you feel more free in the house of God? I'm glad. For those of you that are new to our ministry, Narrow Gate is a 12 to 24 month program. We call it a program because that's the only way that people understand what we're doing. But it's a place for individuals to come. We invite them in. We don't have mandatory financial requirements and all these hoops to jump through. But we're kind of going old-fashioned and just introducing them to the same Jesus that you and I know, giving them opportunity for worship, prayer, for healthy understanding of the Word of God, and creating an atmosphere for spiritual growth. It's not about steps or programming. It's about right standing, right relationship with the Father. Oftentimes, I will say more times than not, we're dealing with an orphan spirit among people. Many of them have been in the church, served in the church. But they have yet to cross over to that place of sonship. To that place that He is my Father. He's not just God. But He's my Father. I'm in His bloodline. I'm in His lineage. That same authority has been delegated unto me because I bear His name. Son and a daughter, and things begin to change. Our reverence changes. Our perspectives change. Because of our understanding or revelation of Father and Son. I like that one. Feisty. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and easy the way that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. It's not an easy path to freedom. It's simple, but not easy. Amen? There's a lot of self-crucifixion. And if we're to identify with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection, I can't evaluate anything that was easy about Him going to the cross. Easy about being in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if there's any other way. And oftentimes with our own flesh, we have to go through a grieving process. A crucifixion and a grieving and laying that thing down. I know for my own flesh, I remember crying out saying, God, if there's any other way, just let this thing live. I was married to it. I was in love with it. Amen. This thing called flesh. Even though it had destroyed me, it was like an abusive relationship that I continued to find myself back in. I loved it, but I hated it, and it was hurting me. We need to allow that thing to be crucified. And we need to stand at the foot of that cross and grieve. And until then, we're not in position for a resurrected, transformative lifestyle. To become more than an overcomer. Our program has 5 phases. Many of you might be familiar with the Teen Challenge model. I served in Teen Challenge, was in Teen Challenge in Muskegon for 6 years. Much of what we do in the first 2 phases has many similarities to what one would see in the Teen Challenge model, where God has challenged us to expand is rather than keeping them kind of in the box and then graduating them and sending them, we say, let's walk with you through that process. So at phase 3, we begin to introduce more freedom. Phase 1, phase 2, they can't have cell phones. They can't come and go as they please. They can't have money on their person. They're overcome with substance or thought, depression, suicide, whatever that thing is. It's bigger than them, and it's been winning the battle. And so we put them in a position, much like a newborn baby, isn't ready to be sent. We put them in position for growth. Then after they mature, we have spiritual growth requirements and academic requirements, memorizing scripture. And we've had some that were just really good at academics, not so good at the spiritual growth side. We hold them back. We need to see evidence that Holy Ghost is working on the inside of you. Evidence. Because my God is unmistakable. When He's working in the life of an individual. We begin to give them more freedom. And that's why even in our literature it says we give them room to fail, to mess up. And some of the greatest lessons are not learned in a box, but they're learned when you're standing face to face with that giant going, oh my goodness, what do I do now? It enhances the prayer life, doesn't it? It gets things a little bit more serious, a little bit more intense. Phase 4 is where they're able to obtain outside employment or college courses, whatever the next step looks like for them. They're still a student. They still live with us. But we're giving them opportunity to interact as a normal Christian would in society. Phase 5 is after they leave our residential housing and they're out on their own. They're still a student with us. We still walk with them. We still hold them accountable. We still drug, alcohol, and nicotine screen. We have liberty just like we do in the dorms. We have liberty in their house. They have to sign stuff. For us to go into their homes and say, listen, these movies aren't conducive for Christian living. We create relationship with their with their pastor, whoever it is that we're handing them off to. They need a spiritual covering, a spiritual mentor, a life coach, a spiritual father, a mother, whatever that is for them, a pastor. And we want to connect with that individual and make it smooth. And listen, I'm not going to take the student's word for it. I'm going to take the mentor's word for it. Have they been in church? Have they been engaged? Have they been where they're supposed to be and doing what they're supposed to do? And so we create a support system and a network and a team to sustain longevity of victorious Christian living. We believe in decision, discipleship, and deliverance. Decision, discipleship, and deliverance. And I believe it happens in that order. I don't believe deliverance is so much for the unbeliever, lest the enemy would go find seven more and come back. But I believe that deliverance is for those that have the gates secure. Amen? Decision. Get the house cleaned up. Secure the doors. Now, any closets in here we got to kick open? We'll walk through with a Holy Ghost flashlight and start looking in the soul. Exercise those things. We do weekly what's typically called a sociogram. We call it student spotlight. It's a peer-based evaluation. And oftentimes in the past, we found ourselves guilty of ministering to a reputation. But there was a character that we had yet to touch. Because they're one way in front of pastor. They're one way in front of the leaders. Amen? But then back at the dorm, they're a whole different person. Or maybe with that one individual that they click with. And so the peer-based evaluation shines light in the darkest place of the soul to inspire deliverance. And a man or woman after God's own heart says, listen, I love that. It hurts, but I'm so glad you kicked that closet door open. I've been wrestling with that thing for years. Come help me clean it. Come help me get this thing out of me. And so oftentimes it can turn into prayer and deliverance. We evaluate them on attitude, spiritual growth, obedience, pace of growth. We are very strong and fivefold. Our heart is to not only get them from the things that they had been overwhelmed with, but to allow them to be established in their God-given call. Are they evangelist? Are they teacher? Are they prophet? Are they pastor? Are they apostle? Who are they in the kingdom of God? And we want you to leave well equipped to step into the fullness of who God says you are. Praise the Lord. I could stand up here. I'm passionate about it. I could tell you about Narrowgate all day. And Jesus. I'm more passionate about Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, it takes an incredible team to make Narrowgate a reality. We have great pastors that come and share the word for classes and chapels and ministry time. Great administrators and those that keep everybody in line, including myself, and just keep the operation going. It takes also a great deal of resources to keep the ministry going with the houses and the food and the insurances and the vehicles. And many of you can probably imagine what it could be to house that many individuals, three meals a day, and all the doctor's appointments and court dates and all the different stuff. It's just really can get to be a lot. And we have never received any grants. We're not government funded. We are 100% funded by God's people, gifts and donations, contributions of individuals. And I feel like we've done a great job at stewarding what God has given us. It cost us about $700 a month per student to have in the program. And really, in comparison, for an inmate in America, the national average is $2,583 a month. That's $31,000 a year. And that's a national average. Some prison systems are up around $60,000, $61,000 to have an inmate for a year. And we're more around the $10,000, $11,000 a year range. But our heart
is to help everyone and to not have this requirement of finances be a deterrent from people receiving Christ. And I've never felt comfortable about putting a price tag on the gospel. Amen? And so we just kick our doors open and we invite, we bring people in. I'll say this, 90% of our students don't have resources to pay their way, nor does their family. And so we get to get incredibly creative at fundraising. And to be quite frank, sometimes we just simply go without. That's where the greater body of Jesus Christ comes in, that we can partner with each other. And oftentimes people say we love what God's doing there. We love what you're doing. We love the vision. And that's sowing seed is a way for them to be able to help and participate in the work that God is doing and seeing transformed lives. I say this, it's not a few people giving a lot that make it happen. It's a lot of people giving a little. And so we get checks from individuals that are retired, and it's just this nice little check. They're even electronic, and they're just these nice little amounts, but it's steady every single month. And we know that we can count on that. And so that is huge. Anyone that's worked in nonprofit, working on donations, knows how incredibly inconsistent it can be. And so 1 month, everything's looking great, and then 2 months of this, not like this, but it's like this, like nothing. And it's like, how are we going to do this? And so we're chasing shutoff notices and all this stuff and selling this and doing pop can drives. And it's like, well, we got to get something coming in here, man. We're gonna lose this thing. So we get to go to war in the spirit and pray and watch breakthrough. And we just continue to trust God. I've learned personally just to kind of step back from the worry and oversight of the finances. I just put that in God's hands. And so we just let the Lord. Oftentimes I've prayed this way. God, it's your ministry. Would you pay your bills?
Right.
We're cool like that. We've known each other a while. So I can. Yeah. And God does. Amen. But we want to give you opportunity to participate in that. And however the Lord would lead, no more, no less. I'm going to ask Dr. Janet if she would come and our worship team to come. And we're going to prepare our hearts to transition.
Amen. If you need an envelope this morning, would you please raise your hand? And we'll make all checks payable to River of Life, and we will write the ministry one check. And if you want more information about sewing personally, I believe there's a table set up out in the lobby. But as you can see, we fell in love with Ben and Jessica when we met them because they walk by faith and not by sight. And you know what God has called us to? He's going to see us through. And when times get tough, God always has provision. He has it set aside for us. And he's got provision set aside at River of Life to sow into Narrow Gate today. So I encourage you to make out your checks to River of Life. And we are going to bless this company. If the ushers would come forward with the baskets, please. Father, we lift this offering up to you today, and we thank you for this seed to sow into our special guests today. Father, thank you for your provision for this ministry. Thank you for each one of them. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them here and for blessing us today and giving us this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.